Can you kill Jacob? What's up with the compass that was passed between Alpert and Locke? And finally, is the Dharma video from Comic-Con 2008 canon or not? We'll have answers to those serious questions and a few not-so-serious questions in today's official Lost audio podcast. Yes, everyone, we are finally here at the last official audio podcast for Season 5. We're joined today again by executive producers Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse to rehash our last episode, Follow the Leader, and give us a few hints on what's to come in this special two-hour season finale, entitled The Incident, which, of course, airs Wednesday, May 13th from 9 to 11 p.m. Here now are Damon and Carlton.
Buenas noches, Damon.
Buenas noches.
Yes.
Doesn't that mean good evening?
It does.
Good night?
It does.
But it's daytime.
Well, it's not daytime in Spain.
In 1977.
In Spain, it's night right now.
That's a very valid point. So, buenas noches to you, Carlton.
What's going on?
Well, I guess here we are. It's our final podcast of season 5.
It's exciting.
We made it somehow to the finale without killing each other or any of our loved ones or being killed by the audience so far.
Yeah, well, wait till the finale airs.
Yeah, what do you think the reaction to the finale is going to be? Let's just get that out of the way.
I think that, you know, people, honestly, I feel like people are going to like it because there's some good, you know, mythological advancement in it. But I think there's also going to be a fair share of annoyance that they're going to have to wait 8 months to find out what happens after the finale. It has a very sort of season one feel to me, like when we blew open the hatch and people were like, "You're kidding me. That's where you're leaving us?"
That is always a part of the finale. And I think that several have begun to assume that the show is almost, that there is sort of a reflective quality to it. So that if we've been saying that season 6 is going to be a lot like season 1, it would seem only fair that this finale going into the final season of the show sort of reminisced about season 1. We do know that the Jack gang, at the very least, is about to go to the Swan site, which is, you know, which is exactly where season 1 ended, correct?
It's kind of like, you know, in movies, when instead of having the credits at the beginning, they put them at the end of the movie, but they're in reverse order.
Oh,
right?
Interesting.
You know? So it feels like we're kind of almost like kind of spinning back into season 1. Does that mean that we'll start season 6 with the most exciting part of the season?
All I have to say is that over the summer, if anybody asks me what's in the hatch, I'll know that something has gone horribly haywire.
That's good.
Let's talk a little bit about last week's episode, Father Leader. That was written by Elizabeth Sarnoff and Paul Spashevsky, directed by Mr. Stephen Williams. Not a traditional flashback episode. We sort of were rocketing back between 1977 and 2007. And why is it called Father Leader, Carlton, do you think?
I think it was called Follow the Leader basically because Locke has really emerged as this kind of very strong and compelling guy who seems very much in communion with the island, much to the consternation of Ben and Richard Alpert. And I think that what exactly is going on with John Locke? I mean, that's the question that I have coming out of this episode.
Will we get an answer to that in the finale, or at least know a little bit more about his resurrection?
I would certainly hope that if he said we're not going to like have a nice little party with Jacob, we're going to kill him.
Oh,
Jesus, that's pretty serious. I hope that we get something more about that.
I hope so too. And then on the other side of it, obviously Jack is again finally after weeks of mopping floors and cleaning chalkboards, he has finally got his mission now. But he's having a little bit of a hard time convincing people. It feels like other than Saeed and Faraday's mother, who probably just feels guilty for shooting her son in the back, he hasn't really done a very good job of building together it's not like 50 people are walking behind him like in the old days.
No, exactly. As for Saeed, I mean, he just can't resist a good bomb adventure.
A good excuse to shoot people and to talk about bombs.
Or blow somebody up.
That's true.
That's awesome.
Carlton, who was the president of the United States in 1977? Asks Chris White on our rehash sheet. Do you remember?
I wasn't born yet.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good answer.
So, is it possible to kill Jacob, David?
I think it was Jimmy Carter. That's my guess, but I could be wrong. As I recall, Reagan was elected
Cleveland?
In 80. But what was your question?
It was Jimmy Carter.
It was? But not in this universe.
No, in this universe.
It was...
Bob Dole.
Yeah, it was Bob Dole. Interesting.
Yes,
we'll get more into that later.
Is it possible to kill Jacob, do you think?
Well, that depends on what exactly Jacob is. Like, for example, if he were a 60-foot tall being made entirely out of flames, I would think...
Oh, God.
I'm not a... Spoiler alert.
Why are we not doing that? I mean, why... I mean, like, I'm serious. Like, why didn't you ever pitch that idea in the writer's room?
I did pitch it. I just don't think you were in there. I think, basically, the original end of Follow the Leader was that Locke says, oh, I'm not interested in getting our people back. And then Ben says, what are we going to do? And he says, we're going to kill Jacob. And then Ben says, but he's 60 feet tall and made of flames. And then then Locke goes, oh, scratch that. Let's go get our people back. But everybody thought that it was a much better ending.
No, they should. The better ending is all of a sudden they go... They just stop and they look up, and then you just cut to the 60-foot-tall Jacob made of flames, and then boom, lost.
Oh, that's cool.
That would be, come on, people are coming back for the finale after that.
And then Locke goes, somebody get a bucket.
That's awesome.
Because that's why he's bringing all those people with him, because he's going to need to form a bucket brigade.
Exactly.
Which was the original title of the finale.
But, you know, look, Follow the Leader is really the first part of the finale. I mean, that's kind of the ramp, and we saw it as sort of, it's really, even though the incident, part one and part two, is technically the finale, we sort of see Follow the Leader as the first part of...
Yeah, it's all set up.
It's the
penultimate episode. It's moving people in the right place. And traditionally, what we like to do is get our characters as far apart from each other as we possibly can. So Juliet and Sawyer and Kate are on a submarine on their way to Ann Arbor. You know, Jack and Saeed are...
Unless, of course, you look at the previews for next week's episode.
Yes.
But that could be back on the island in, like, 1937 or 1374.
But how do they get back to the island? That's the operative question. And could it be in a surprising way, Carlton?
Magic box?
Wow. Spoiler alert again.
So this is it. This is the last time we're going to be chatting until Comic-Con, but we hope that you guys will come to Comic-Con, as that will also be our final Comic-Con appearance. And
yes, we've got some treats in store, I think.
Yes, we are already talking about what we're doing for Comic-Con, and it should be really fun.
That is very exciting.
So, all right, let's do some questions. Chris, you ready for some questions?
Let's do it.
Yeah. Hey, Carlton, we do have one piece of unfinished business before we form.
Oh, yeah.
But from questions last week, we were talking about, in Korea, what was the story with Sun and Jin? And Chris has basically got some intel. Would you like to share it with us?
Well, basically, they dubbed the show in Korean, and people, they just basically figured that the audience in Korea is smart enough to understand that the Korean characters are actually playing with English-speaking characters, and so they don't need to do anything special. They just basically think that the Korean audience is smart enough to understand that even though the entire show is dubbed in Korean, the perception of the Korean characters by the English-speaking characters is, you know, it's something that's just understood.
So are you telling me that Sun and Jin are dubbed?
Yes.
They are dubbed. So even though they're speaking Korean, another actor
is
portraying Yoon-jin Kim and Daniel Dae-kim.
That's apparently the case.
Fascinating. Well, now we have the answer to that question.
Yeah.
I'm glad we can move on. This question is from Jack Aubrey from Sussex, England. Salutations, Mr. Qs and Mr. Lindelof. I've been rewatching Lost from the beginning with my lady friend, and I've noticed an interesting pattern emerge. Whenever John Locke goes to the crash site of the Nigerian drug plane, he is always prevented from climbing those long routes up to the top. In Deus Ex Machina, he suddenly and seemingly without reason lost his ability to walk, so Boone had to go up, and we know what happened there.
Yeah.
Then in the episode titled Question Mark, John was still recovering from having his leg crushed in the blast door, so Echo had to climb. And finally, in the premiere this year, Because You Left, John was climbing up and he gets shot by Ethan.
Yep.
My question is there any significance to John Locke constantly being prevented from getting to the top? Is it just coincidence, or will something important happen if and when he finally gets up there?
Wow, that is an excellent question, and actually, Jack and the Beanstalk is one of the biggest inspirations for Lost that we've actually never cited before.
Is there a giant up there?
There's a
giant, perhaps, made of flames?
A giant. There is a 60-foot-tall flaming man beyond that plane on top of that ledge. And Locke is smart enough to know that, and that's why he does not climb up there.
I think that the actual answer is somewhere more on the lines of it's a motif.
It's a motif,
And Locke and that drug plane have a dual destiny. And
when you only have a limited amount of creative ideas and you do the same thing three times, it's called a motif.
That's right. It's when you run out of ideas, it's called a motif. I was going to go to some place. It's an allegory for Sisyphus, but they're not going to buy it.
They will. All right, it's an allegory for Sisyphus.
That was an excellent question.
Thank you. Well thought out.
Thank you, Jack Aubrey.
All right, Damon. Here's the question we've been getting a lot, and this is one of those time travel issues. You know, there are many conundrums involved in doing time travel, and Indeed. So let's just get right to the heart of it, and let's address this question. Hello, Darlton. I was watching Follow the Leader and couldn't help but wonder about Locke's compass. It seems to me that the compass is in this infinite loop where it has passed between Locke and Richard Alpert. Where did the compass come from? How could it get rustier than when the 50s Locke gave it to the 50s Richard, if 2007 Richard gave it to time-skipping Locke hours before 50s Locke started the cycle again? Does the compass eventually degenerate into dust, thus causing a hole in the space-time continuum? Or is it that the magic compass will get its own spin-off next year? Love the show. Cindy from Liberty Lake, Washington.
This is a fascinating question, and one we spent way too many hours in the room discussing. We do not want to remove the shade of mystery for you guys. All we can say first is that what we have done with the compass is absolutely intentional in terms of sort of the broader themes of the show. But more importantly, there are certain things in mathematics and in time travel, like Fermat's Last Theorem, for example, that are very, very difficult to try to explain. They are sort of fascinating puzzles that lack solution. And the compass is one of them. It is purposely perplexing, but it has no origin. Because if Locke essentially gave it to Alpert and Alpert gave it to Locke, then where did it come from? And I think the larger question is, what is its state of decay? And I think that is an area where we could have called the props department in Hawaii and tried to explain what it was we were trying to do, but they would have shot us and basically said, we don't understand. Like, does the compass always have to look the same? Because the fact of the matter is Alpert holds onto it for 50 years.
Right.
So at a certain point, it degrades. And then
even if it is in a Möbius loop.
It is in a Möbius loop, an infinite loop.
Yeah.
So if you're asking the question, where did the compass come from, we put this question to you. Which came first, the chicken or the egg?
The idea that it is in a Möbius loop is a very intentional motif that we are executing here. And again, I think that, you know, one of the challenges of Lost is that we believe in a large quotient of mystery and magic in the world, and it is not our intention to demystify the world of Lost by over-explaining things. And the fact that the compass magically exists between these two characters, we think, is just a cool piece of sort of mystery.
And here's another
and magic.
Thing. If Jack is somehow successful in carrying out Faraday's mission, he will free the compass.
That's true.
He could basically that should have been the end of Follow Leader.
Yeah.
After the Jacob thing and the flaming guy, you cut to basically Jack, and Kate says right before she walks off, Jack, why are you doing this? And he looks at her and he goes, because I've got to free that compass.
Right.
Here we go. Hey, Damon and Carlton, big fan, can't wait for the finale, says Nick of Boston College. I have a question about the Dharma video released last summer. And speaking of questions that we've been getting asked a lot,
yeah.
The compass is number one, number two is this one. Unless I'm mistaken, that's pretty clearly Daniel Faraday's voice videotaping Pierre Chang. As we know, though, Dan got capped before such a videotaping could even happen. I know you don't want to reveal too much about continuity and what can't be changed, but can you tell us whether that was intentional or a whoopsie?
All right. Well, we are in total clear-up mode. This is not an evasive podcast. This is an informative podcast, and I like that.
Let's get out in front of it, Carlton.
A few things to be said. Who's the letter writer?
It's Nick from Boston College.
Nick from Boston College. Go Red Sox. Damon is giving me a really annoyed look right now. Okay, so first off, we conceived our material for Comic-Con a long time ago and ahead of the regular season, and so you know, sometimes we have sort of story and intentions, and really the vast majority of the time they come to conclusion in the series. But in this case, we had an idea, and we were unable to completely follow through the idea for several different reasons. The first one was we were going to do an ARG between Comic-Con and into our season, but for
that's an alternate reality game, basically right. An internet-based game like we've done between seasons before.
Right. But before we could execute that, we kind of had a worldwide financial crisis, and the money to do that kind of went away. So that altered our plans. Secondly, we don't consider what goes on in Comic-Con canon. I mean, we try to make it tied to the show, but the only thing that really is canon is the show for us. And so we sort of felt like, since we really couldn't get back to that story branch based on the way the show naturally evolved, I mean, we don't do this thing in the abstract. J.K. Rowling has the great luxury and privilege of being utterly in control of all the characters in her universe, but we do our show in collaboration with 400 other people. And for a variety of reasons, which are way too detailed to go into, we didn't. That story branch fell off the tree, in other words.
Right. And, you know, the fundamental idea was we knew that our characters were all going to end up in Dharma Times. We knew that a certain branch of them, the Sawyer branch, was going to be living in Dharma Times for 3 years before the Oceanic Six came back. So this idea was basically, instead of having Faraday go to Ann Arbor, which is actually what we ended up doing in the show, that he basically was trying to convince Pierre Chang for a certain period of time that he was from the future. We just rejiggered that because we lost all the storytelling that would have happened in the ARG that got essentially canceled. And then as the teaser of the season premiere, we basically, we sold this idea that Faraday was going to be in Dharma Times, but this was the new idea.
Right.
It was both intentional and a whoopsie,
yeah.
Nick. And
thank you, though.
You know, sometimes the fans are disappointed that we say that everything on the show wasn't intentional, but we feel like we get a little bit of leeway when it comes to material that we generate for Comic-Con and the internet and stuff like that.
And look, the truth is we don't have like some Bible of the show that we're just sitting here, you know, typing up every week and then having margaritas. I mean, we know these sort of mythological milestones that exist, but the journey between them is one that we discover along the way, and you know, and in that process of discovery, things sometimes change, and that's the way the show gets written.
And we also choose to be honest with you. We never showed Faraday; you only hear his voice. So we could have just said, "Though that wasn't Faraday; it was just someone who sounded a lot like him."
Yeah.
But no, it was right. It was Jeremy Davies.
Right. It was his All right. twin brother.
Next question.
Okay, Damon.
Yes.
This is from Patty Hodgkiss in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Patty.
And, Patty, you know, I hope you go to the Frontier. That's my favorite restaurant in Albuquerque. Hey, Carlton and Damon, my whole family is addicted to Lost, but I'm concerned we still don't know who are the good guys and who are the bad guys.
Wow.
Are we going to find out soon who we should be cheering for? I would love to know what team I should be backing.
Interesting. Why don't we play a game of good guy, bad guy, Carlton?
Okay.
I'll name a character, and
okay.
You just say, you say good guy or bad guy. Or haven't decided. That is also an option for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start with an easy one. Hurley.
Hurley's a good guy.
Kate.
Kate's a good guy to me, too.
Richard Alpert.
Haven't decided.
Wow. Frank Lapidus.
Bad guy. No, I like Frank Lapidus. I'm sorry, Frank. Frank's good.
Saeed.
Kind of a bad guy, maybe.
Wow,
but
interesting.
No, could be, I don't know. I mean, that's you. I could say good guy. It depends on the day. I like Saeed, but he's done some bad things, Damon.
Okay, and finally, Flaming 60-Foot Jacob.
Good guy.
Okay.
Okay.
There you go.
So I hope that
so
clears things
that
up for you, Patty.
I should take everything for you. Thank
that's
you, Patty.
That's awesome. Okay, Damon.
I got another one for you.
Was that me or you? That was your turn.
Because you somehow got a shout-out in for some Albuquerque restaurant, which is no doubt providing you with a kickback. So. Salut, Damon A. Carlton.
I'm just saying, if you want a good breakfast burrito, go to the Frontier on Central Ave in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Brunch served from 11 to 1 every Saturday. Salut, Damon A. Carlton, which is French for Hi, Damon and Carlton.
Oh, good.
Best TV show ever. Last week, you were wondering about how the French version of the show might have addressed the French talking thing issue. It has, quite badly, in fact. But there are some questions about the French talking thing in your own English version I would really like to ask you from France, and this is from Axel Chaminade and Nice. Was it because Shannon had such a bad French that you shot her?
Yes.
Was it because Charlie said in the first episode, I've never been so happy to hear the French, that you flooded him?
Yes.
Is it possible that you cut off Montan's arm because he had such a strong Quebecer accent that we just couldn't hear him without thinking, well, Quebecer actors must be so much easier for them to recruit?
Yes.
And finally, is it possible it's because Jacob is French that he's spending his whole life in a cabin without a shower? I think the real reason he hasn't taken a shower is he's made of fire.
What do you mean? That's not something you want to do when you're made out of fire.
It is definitely not recommended.
No. But yes, yes, this guy's a genius. We should ship him over. Axel? I'm thinking Axel's a guy.
All right, well.
Thank you, Mr. Chaminade.
All right, we're on fire.
Or Mr. Nice.
Do you have a final question,
Carlton? I do. Okay. Darlton, Follow the Leader was a kick butt episode.
Okay.
This person, Eric Wilkes from Los Angeles, California.
I like that he corrected himself.
He's not going to say any bad words.
Okay.
Can't wait to experience the incident. My question, years ago, you told us that we didn't have enough information to adequately theorize about how the show ends. When do you think we'll reach that point? Thanks, and I'm already counting down the 8.5 months to the final season opener.
That is a great question, actually. I think, personally speaking, by the end of this finale and by the end of the season premiere of season 6, you will have pretty much all the fundamental building blocks you need to put together a hell of a theory as to what it all means and where the show might potentially end. Our finales are always, we always look at them as part ending the story that we did in the previous season and part setting up the season to come. So it's a finale and a pilot all wrapped in one. And then we look at our season premieres in the same way because we're still wrapping out of the finale, but we're continuing to set up the new year. So there's always a bridge. But I think that we begin, you're going to get a substantial piece of information in this finale that will help you get a sense of where we might be going.
My true hope and belief is that by the end of the season 6 finale that you should have a good ability to theorize about the show.
Yeah,
I hope so. That to me will be the point at which I think that you'll have enough information to adequately theorize about the show.
Right.
So somewhere between now and the end of the season 6 finale.
The end of the series. Probably.
End of the series,
as long
yes.
as we've got it by then.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. Hope you guys enjoy the finale, and we'll see you all at Comic-Con. Right, Damon?
Yes, and a special thank you to everybody this year. We know that the time travel storytelling can be a very laborious thing, and now more than ever, we appreciate the fact that you are still watching our show.
We do, indeed.
It is your support that is
most important,
really
yes.
makes us do these podcasts, because we sure as hell don't enjoy them.
I enjoy them.
Well, I enjoy them too.
Right. All right. Thanks. And thank you to Chris White for another great year at the headphones.
At the helm.
Okay.
Bye.
That brings us to the end of this podcast, but not quite to the end of our podcasting season. Catch up with us again next week after the 2-hour season finale. We're joined by actor Michael Emerson. We'll do a breakdown of the finale, even though Damon and Carlton will be in radio silence. Lost, The Incident airs Wednesday, May 13th from 9 till 11 p.m. only on ABC.